You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory, and welcome back to another episode of Naturopathy Earth Radio, or NPE Radio, as they would say in Spanish. Not really, they would say NPE, Radio de NPE. I hope you're doing well this morning. Before we begin talking about all the psychotropic drugs that have been in the blood of all the school shooters, let's do some housekeeping. We do have a Patreon account if any of you are interested in funding and helping support the website and the podcast for us poor teachers. Click on the episode notes and you'll see a link there. You'll also see a link on our website, which is naturopathicearth.com, www.naturopathicearth.com, or just type in NP Radio and it'll come up. I'm also a certified paleo-inspired health coach if any of you are in the need to lose weight. Also, Alex won the last raffle, which we announced, I believe, on Monday. So congratulations to Alejandro. I wish I knew more languages. I guess Alejandro in French would be Alexandre. Alexandre. I'm recording this very early, 6 a.m. on Monday the 20 blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if I talked to you about this the previous week at the hormonal contraceptive episode, but I don't think I did. But women are attracted to men with very deep voices because it shows they have a lot of testosterone. So I tell my students, like, the first time you meet somebody on a first day beat, have your voice really, really deep. And I tell the women that men are attracted to women with high voices. Not really high, like, I'm 7 years old high. That's really creepy and prepubescent, but higher voice because it suggests that they have more estrogen, therefore they're more fertile. The only reason I bring this up is because the studies show that when you wake up, when men wake up in the morning, they're loaded with testosterone. They have much more testosterone. And so I notice, and this is just anecdotal, but my voice is much deeper in the morning when I record in the morning than if I ever do in the afternoon, which is rare. Most of the time I find time to do the episodes in the morning. So ladies, it's important to remember that men loaded with testosterone more in the morning than in the evening. So just remember that. So bad breath or morning bad breath fear, get that out of the way. Morning is the time to get it on. Okay, you guys know I have no love for Big Pharma. I think out of the 113 some episodes that I have done, at least 6 or 7 of them are just standalone anti-Big Pharma episodes. I'm drinking a green tea right now. It's perfect temperature, so I'm going to take some breaks here. I'm not going to do the pause break. It's not natural. And going back to all the vaccine episodes, going back to the mixing of benzos with alcohol, even going back to last week's episodes on the revolving door and on contraceptives and all that. And I heard about the shooting in Santa Fe. Now, as you know, I'm a high school teacher, and this strikes me for two reasons. One, we do drills all the time for shootings. Now, let me tell you something. The drills we do are idiotic, to be honest. But I understand why we do it. So we have a couple of ones. We have like a lockdown where we're supposed to all, when we get the announcement, go to the corner of the room where there's no windows, and we are all supposed to huddle, and the kids aren't supposed to use their phones, and we're supposed to close the windows, and I get that. And the issue is this. If there's truly a school shooter, well, let me backtrack. Most campuses are pretty open, and our campus is relatively open. And the problem with our campus is that even if we were to put metal detectors in certain entrances and all the 2,800 kids had to funnel through them, the two entrances, logistically it'd be difficult. But the bigger problem is throughout the rest of the day, all of the doors of our open campus are open all the time. And we have one or two cops, but honestly, they're in their office during non-lunch hour. During lunch, they're in the courtyard. And there's really no one monitoring the 35 entrances we have to the particular high school where I work. And so anybody can come in and start shooting. Anybody. It could be a student. It could be a non-student. But whatever. They start shooting. And then here's the thing. We are taught to hide in a room. Okay. Now, maybe they've done studies and they show that hiding in a room works. But if there's somebody really wanting to shoot, locking the door, really, to be honest, is not going to really stop them. They can, most of these people have semi-automatics and they can just blow open the door. Then what you have is 34 sitting ducks in the corner of a room. To me, this makes no sense. Now you think, okay, well, you know, the cops will get there in a second. No, if you do any of the research of any of the massive school shootings, when the cops finally get there, it's not like they break in and try to find the shooter. Most time they bring SWAT and then they can do a strategy and it takes them an hour or two. So the shooters, if they haven't killed themselves already, or somebody killed them, which is a separate episode, but if they're still alive, they can just go around shooting people indiscriminately. Because even here in Texas, you know, the controversy about maybe arming former military teachers is controversial. And me, personally, as a teacher, I would like to see teachers armed. Because in a situation, and when there is a school shooter, and it's taken the cops an hour and a half to get in, by then, most of the shooting is going to be done. All the havoc's going to already be done. But if we do have certain unidentified teachers who are former military, who, you know, pass mental health examinations, who are just legit people, then there's actually somebody that's possibly there to stop these shooters. If not, we're all just sitting ducks. But that's just my opinion. I know people have a very passionate view of school shooting, as is understandable, given that young people are killed. And I don't know what's the right or wrong way. Now, what I do know is that most of the people in school shootings are laced up on psychotropics. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because we've talked about antidepressants. If you go back to the episode on antidepressants, which I think is very early on, episode 13 or 14, like natural ways to cure yourself of depression, natural remedies. I talk about how one of the classic side effects of antidepressants is suicidal and homicidal ideation. Tea break. So I just wanted to bring to your attention how pervasive it is that most of these shooters were on some sort of psychotropic drug. So I'm going to be reading an article from the New American, from Prozac to Parkland. And this is from February. Parkland was the one in Florida. Are psychiatric drugs causing mass shootings? While mass killers generally have guns in their hands, another commonality is they often have a psychiatric drug in their blood. The difference, though, is that it isn't the drugs that have the side effects of homicidal ideation. If you develop digestive problems after a change in diet, do you look for the cause in the food you always ate or new ones you started eating? While the answer is obvious, this common sense is painfully uncommon when analyzing the new phenomenon of continual mass shootings. Many blame the long-present foods, which are guns in this case, and ignore the new diet whose embrace coincided with the problem. And part of what's new is the widespread use of psychiatric drugs. A case in point, the Parkland, Florida shooter, I won't name his name to help provide the fame he probably craved, murdered 17 people on Valentine's Day and was on medications for emotional issues. So here's the issue. Media doesn't like to cover this. They have very little appetite for exploring the issue that a lot of these shooters are on psychotropic drugs, and that's one of the known listed side effects and the inserts when you start taking the drugs. If any of you are on antidepressants, especially the SSRIs, look in the inserts. It even says it. But the media has little appetite for exploring this issue, and politicians don't either. Unlike with guns, legal drugs aren't a sexy issue that can be used to scare people and win votes. Moreover, as The Guardian reported last year, the British paper, pharmaceutical companies spend far more than any other industry to influence politicians. We've talked about how they're essentially bribed. That's what lobbying is. Having poured close to $2.5 billion into lobbying and funding members of Congress over the past decade, This dwarfs gun lobby's political contributions, mind you. But what about pharmaceuticals' contributions to mass shootings? Of course, correlation doesn't mean causation, but it can provide clues as to where causation may lie. And the correlation between mass shooter and psychiatric drugs use certainly exists. So, causation, correlation. Just because all these people are on psychotropic drugs doesn't mean that the psychotropic drugs are necessarily causing it, but there is a correlation that all the shooters are on these drugs. Consider Newton, Connecticut killer Adam Lanza, who killed 26 at Sandy Hook back in 2013. He was also on medications. Now, a family member, I think it was his aunt or family friend, admitted to this. And so Kupelian, who is the main guy at The Guardian, points out that there was little journalistic curiosity to follow up to the fact that the family friend said that he was on drugs. But there should be, as Kupelian also informs, quote, fact, a disturbing number of perpetrators of school shootings and similar mass murders in our modern era were either on or recently coming off of psychiatric medications, close quote. He then provides some examples. So I will provide these examples. Let's do the bullet for bullet music. All right, probably the most famous example, especially for millennials, is going to be over in Columbine in Littleton, Colorado. Columbine mass killer Eric Harris was taking Luvox, like Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, and Effexor, and many others, a modern and widely prescribed type of antidepressant drug called an SSRI. Luvox is, that is. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. Along with fellow student Dylan Klebold, Harris shot 13 to death and wounded 24 in a headline-grabbing 1999 rampage. Quote, Luvox manufacturer Solvay Pharmaceuticals concedes that during short-term controlled clinical trials, 4% of children and youth taking Luvox, that is 1 in 25, developed mania, a dangerous and violence-prone mental derangement characterized by extreme excitation and delusion. Now, this isn't Alex Jones. We're not going full out conspiracy, because if you listen to Alex Jones, and I haven't listened to him for years, but I know his stance on a lot of these school shootings. They'll also say that was an inside job. I mean, he'll even go so much to talk about Newton, how, and believe me, there's tons of YouTube videos you can watch on this, and I don't watch it, but I know like some of the arguments, how the kids were never killed, that they brought in the actors to pretend that they were the parents, how they never showed the bodies coming out of the school, just all these things. I'm just talking about just straight out evidence about these guys were on psychotropic drugs. All right. Issue number two. 25-year-old Patrick Purdy murdered 5 children and wounded 30 in a schoolyard shooting rampage in Stockton, California in 1989. He had been taking amitriptyline, an antidepressant, as well as the antipsychotic drug Thorazine. Now, Thorazine used to only be given in psychiatric facilities, like locked up places like Shutter Island and Cuckoo's Nest and stuff like that. Now it's commonly prescribed, just like Zombilify or Ambilify is. Okay, number 3 and 4. I remember this one. Kip Kinkle, 15, murdered his parents in 1998 and the next day went to his school, Thurston High School in Springfield, Oregon, and opened fire on his classmates, killing 2 and wounding 22 others. He had been prescribed both Prozac and Ritalin. Number 4, Aaron Ray Ibarra, 26, of Mountain Lake Terrace, Washington, allegedly opened fire with a shotgun at Seattle Pacific University in June 2014, killing 1 student and wounding 2 others. Ibarra said, he had been prescribed with Prozac and Risperdal to help him with his problems. Okay, let's do number 5 and 6. We're just going to keep rolling down here. And look, I'm trying to keep it up because this is very, very sad. Jose Reyes, the Nevada 7th grader who went on a shooting rampage at his school in October 2013, was taking a prescription antidepressant Prozac at the time. The 6th one, Navy Yard shooter Aaron Alexis sprayed bullets at office workers and in a cafeteria on September 16, 2013, killing 13 people, including himself. Alexis had been prescribed generic antidepressant trazodone by his VA doctors. Number 7 and 8. In 1988, 31-year-old Lori Dan, first-time lady, went on a shooting rampage in a second-grade classroom in Winnetka, Illinois, killing one child and wounding six. She had been taking the antidepressant anafrenil, as well as lithium, long used to treat mania. Number eight, I remember this one, in Paducah, Kentucky, in late 1997, 14-year-old Michael Carniel, son of a prominent attorney, traveled to Heath High School and started shooting students in a prayer meeting taking place in the school's lobby. Killing three and leaving another paralyzed. Carniel reportedly was on Ritalin. Yeah, there's a great documentary right now on Netflix about how pervasive all the ADD, ADHD drugs are in college and how so many people are taking it off-label to get that extra kind of high to it and extra focus and extra study. And how it's essentially just, you know, meth and amphetamine. It's just a crazy upper. All right, and just a couple more. In 2005, 16-year-old Jeff Weiss, living on Minnesota's Red Lake Indian Reservation, shot and killed nine people and wounded five others before killing himself. Weiss had been taking Prozac. Number 10, 47-year-old Joseph Westbecker, just a month after he began taking Prozac in 1989, shot 20 workers at Standard Griver Corporation in Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville. They don't say Louisville. They say Louisville. Killing nine. Prozac maker Eli Lilly later settled a lawsuit brought by survivors. Oh, you don't hear about that often. You don't hear about that often. And why do you think the news doesn't cover that? First of all, if there's a news article about, oh, somebody was taking Paxil, shot up the school, and the survivors filed a lawsuit and won, then everybody who's taken that Paxil or whatever drug, they'd be like, And then you would see all these lawsuits, and plus you see all these, maybe, I don't know, we're such sheeple now, so many people would be getting off these drugs, which would hurt the profits of Big Pharma. And then also TV doesn't benefit by that, because Big Pharma, as we established two episodes ago, spends tons of money and gives tons of money to big telecommunication and big TV for commercials. So it's in none of their best interest to reveal any of this, and which we'll talk about this at the end. Okay, those are just a few. There's more. I'm going to put a website, a YouTube link of a great a video I used to show my students. It's like a 12-minute video where it's just boom, 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 all these lists of school shooters and how they were on drugs. This is back in my old district. All right, let's finish this out. There's many more examples. Of course, also relating to correlation, there's a chicken or egg question here. Is it that taking psychiatric drugs makes a person more likely to go crazy and commit murderous rampages, or is it that crazy people who are candidates for committing murderous rampages are more likely to be prescribed psychiatric drugs? In reality, most likely it's both. The truth is that because the human mind is complex and not wholly understood, taking mind-altering drugs is a risky proposition, especially for young children. Europe, many times they don't allow young kids to be on psychotropic drugs. We allow kids here at this in America to be put on Ritalin at age 7, and then they're on it pretty much their whole childhood, and if not longer. And, you know, the studies show that when kids are on Ritalin at a very early age, it's an entry-level drug, and they move up to higher level drugs, recreational drugs later on. Drug companies acknowledge this too, mind you, just not very publicly. As Kapilian, the Guardian writer, writes after relating the case of Andrea Yates, and she was a very famous woman. She had five kids, and she drowned them all in 2001 while on the antidepressant Effexor. In November 2005, more than 4 years after Yates drowned her children, Effexor manufacturer Wythe Pharmaceuticals quietly added, quote, homicidal ideation, close quote, to the drug's list of rare adverse effects. The Medical Accountability Network, a private nonprofit focused on medical ethics issues, publicly criticized Wyeth, saying Effexor's homicidal ideation risk wasn't well publicized and that Wyeth failed to send letters to doctors or issue medical warning labels announcing the change. And what does exactly rare mean in the phrase rare adverse events? The FDA defines it as occurring in less than 1 in 1,000 people. But since that same year, 19.2 million prescriptions for Effexor were filed in the U.S. Statistically, that means thousands of Americans might experience homicidal ideation or murderous thoughts, as a result of just taking this one brand of antidepressant drugs. Effexor is Wyeth's best-selling drug, by the way, which in one recent year brought in over $3 billion, accounting for almost a fifth of the company's annual revenues. $3 billion for just one drug, Effexor. So if you add up the sales of all the pharmaceutical drugs, all the psychotropics, all the anxiety drugs that we talked about like last time, like all the benzos, the Ativan, the Klonopin, the Xanax, all the antidepressants, all the antipsychotics, it's got to be, you know, tens of billions just on psychotropics. Then after mentioning the case of the 12-year-old Paxil user Christopher Pittman's murder of his grandparents, Kupalian informed that Paxil's known adverse drug reactions, according to the drug's FDA-approved label, include mania, insomnia, anxiety, agitation, confusion, amnesia, depression, paranoid reaction, psychosis, hostility, delirium, hallucinations, abnormal thinking, depersonalization, and lack of emotion, among others. In fact, as Channel 2 WCGH reported in 2009, quote, one study shows a quarter of all children on drugs such as Paxil and Zoloft become dangerously violent and or suicidal, close quote. Of course, if these drugs pose such a threat, there should be a stream of high-profile lawsuits, right? Wrong. To avoid the bad exposure this would bring, drug companies spend hundreds of millions of dollars settling claims out of court and often cloak them with confidentiality agreements. Of course, we just talked about the billions of dollars they make off of this. So paying out of court for a couple of mil for some shooting or someone killing their parents, they can live with that. They're thinking long-term, baby. Having said this, it's unlikely that psychiatric drugs are entirely to blame for school shootings. It's good to say that. For much has changed during the last many decades. We've seen a decline in faith and rise in moral relativism and nihilism, which relates to the notion that right and wrong are mere perspectives. Entertainment has become increasingly decadent and mindlessly violent. The family has continued to break down, and Americans today, immersed in electronics, are often more connected to things than people. And the fame committing a massacre can be alluring to lonely, disturbed people, thus breeding copycat crimes, to name just a few. It's a systematic problem. Nonetheless, adding mind-altering drugs to this equation adds up to nothing good, and this brings me to my story. I knew a good-natured man who was the epitome of even-temperedness, who had some problems and was prescribed an antidepressant by a psychiatrist who never treated him before. Well, he swallowed one pill, and only one ever. In this case, it was all that it took. 15 minutes later, he flew into a rage and was never the same again. Mental instability, irrationality, and violent episodes. In a word, insanity would define the rest of his life. Famed psychiatrist Sigmund Freud once believed that cocaine, legal during his younger days, was the best cure for depression there'd ever been. Bear heroin was once advertised as a remedy for all sorts of ailments. Good old Bear, that German company with links to Nazism. Today, one out of six Americans on some psychiatric medication. We ought to perhaps bear in mind that just because a drug is on the right side of the law doesn't mean it won't bring you to the wrong side of sanity's life. Oh, good ending. That's a very good ending for that article. Just because the drug is on the right side of the law doesn't mean it won't bring you to the wrong side of sanity's line. All right, let's take a break and let's finish up. Okay, I just refilled my tea because it was getting cold. Let me bring my voice down here. This is when I finish up. And as you've noticed the last few episodes, it could take me half the episode to finish up. I tried to make the episode a little uplifting, but of course it's extremely sad. And I would hate for there to be a school shooting where I'm at or where Kate's at. Kate teaches at another school. or were any teachers at. And of course, I would be freaked out if I heard that one of my kids was killed in a school shooting. I think the reason I wanted to bring this article up is because the media and the government use the school shootings, as we all know, if you read the papers. And I don't read the paper. I don't even have local news, so I don't watch the news. But I, you know, this is the way it's been for 25 years, going back to Columbine even. Anytime there's a school shooting, the gun control debate comes back. You know, the conservatives are like, guns don't kill people. And then the left are like, oh, we got to restrict more guns. And I think each side gets so heated up that they lose focus and don't talk about the real issues. Because, yes, you could ban guns like they have in Australia, and the way they, you know, the very gun control is very strong in England and much of those areas. And, yes, do they have less school shootings? Sure. Does that mean if we got rid of all the guns, we'd have less school shootings? Probably not, because there's the black market. That's where most of these people get the guns anyways. And the whole idea, oh, if we got rid of guns, or, you know, we do guns for cash programs, which they've done in the past, only good people turn it in for cash. The bad criminals don't. So anytime you gun grab, and you see this in pre-Nazi Germany, like Weimar Republic, and in the 30s, once the Nazis took over, but didn't fully take over, anytime a government starts gun grabbing, it's always a precedent for some tyrannical takeover, because they want to disarm the populace. Also, when there's gun control legislation passed, most of the time you're just taking guns or restricting guns away from good law-abiding citizens. The criminals don't turn in their guns, and so the laws just make it harder for good Americans to protect themselves. Now, of course, are there people that shouldn't have guns? Absolutely. We had a case in my own district 4 years ago at a sister high school where a kid came in with two guns and the parents were worried. And so they called the school and asked the school to check the backpack, and they found two guns. It can happen anywhere. But just like with any shootings in America, we are a free society, like the gay shooting at the gay club or the gay club shooting in Florida. At any moment, in any time, someone can come in right now where you're at and shoot up the place. We don't have enough money or cops to put cops at every public location in the United States. It's impossible. So we have to live in a free society. And I think it was Jefferson who said, those who give up security for freedom get neither. So banning guns, in my humble opinion, is not the right solution. It won't make a difference. You're just taking guns away from good people. And if you look at the studies, the towns that have the most gun control have the highest crime, like Chicago and Detroit. And the small cities that make everybody have guns, like in Switzerland, where you're required to have a gun, they have no crime. Now, of course, that's correlation, not causation. But my point is this. Yeah, you could take guns away and somebody could kill you with a knife. Yeah, it's going to be harder to knife up a school. True. Touche. Absolutely. It's much harder for somebody to come into a school and throw ninja stars at people to kill everybody. So yes, having guns would help in that regard. But I think it takes away the point of the bigger issue, which is this episode. It's the psychotropic drugs that make people snap. Now, some of you might know people who are on antidepressants and their behaviors completely change. And sometimes it doesn't. My mom's been on antidepressants for 30-something years and she hasn't tried to shoot me yet. Knock on wood. But it can happen where people have a certain genetic predisposition, or they're already having psychotic tendencies, or like the episode said, you just don't know. But what I would like, it's just more awareness. I mean, after these shootings happen, we know what kind of gun they're using. It's a blah, 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 M15, or, you know, I don't know anything about guns. It's a blah, 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 assault rifle, blah, 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 blah. But then we never find out when they're on psychiatric drugs at the time. It's only later, once the news event has passed, like a year later, maybe if you Google it or research it, like you're a sleuth, maybe you'll find out. But again, the article talks about how the media doesn't want you to find out because there's too much money being made from our ignorance. So going back to the episode two episodes ago, before you put your family on these antidepressants, especially children, but anybody, before you put them on it, read the inserts. Try to exhaust every natural remedy. Now, sometimes these people, these kids are messed up beyond messed up, and I don't know how to deal with that. You know, I know a couple of parents who have kids that like that, and I sympathize. I don't know what to do because they're malcontents and they're disturbed. They listen to disturbing music. They rage. They might hit the parents. You call the cops. You try to hospitalize it, but you can't. You're living in fear. I don't wish that on anybody, and I pray to God that won't happen when my kids are older. So I feel for those parents. I really do. And I can understand on those occasions where you want to put them on drugs. All I'm saying, though, is just be very, very careful, especially if you have a 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old kid, and before you put them on these drugs, because, again, the other side effect is suicidal ideation. And a kid can be quite normal, and they be put on these drugs, and boom, they snap, just like Andrea Yates drowning her 5 kids. So again, it's all about awareness, like the previous episode, just being aware. We can't expect the medical school, and that's the one that had the big rent, the medical school, the medical industry to change. We can't expect drug commercials to go away. They're always going to be there. We have to rely on grassroots efforts of bringing awareness. And it's another one here. How many people, if you walked up to, say, did you know all the school shooters were on antidepressants? 90% of people would say they didn't know. Why don't they know? Because they don't really care to know, and they just believe whatever the news says. And if the news didn't bring it up, then they weren't on antidepressants. But it's bringing awareness, because we're not going to get it from the media. So we have to spread it friend to friend. And again, it's just like example 4,092 of reasons I really don't want us to be on big pharma drugs, guys. So let's focus the discussion, and next time a school shooting happens, because unfortunately it's going to happen again, we know it's going to happen, or an office shooting, let's refocus the discussion and talk to your family and coworkers about, hey, let's look in and see if they were on psychotropic drugs. And then if they were, let's talk about that. You know, the students had there was a national student walkout about a month ago after Parkland, Florida shooting. And I had my conference period during the time that it was scheduled. It was like second period. So I went out, and there were maybe about 150 kids out. And they were protesting mostly guns, gun violence. Okay. You know, they're young and impressionable. It reminds me of the Mark Twain saying, the one that if you're young and not liberal, you're heartless. But if you're old and not conservative, you're brainless. So young kids, they're very impressionable, and they're very idealistic, and they see things in a very simple way, and they believe it's the guns that's the problem. But I would have loved to have seen somebody bring up the fact that these shooters are on the psychotropic drugs. Now, we were told by admin not to talk to reporters about it, not to talk to students about the walkout, to pretty much keep our mouth shut. That's pretty much the MO of administrators, because administrators, you know, they just care about bad press, graduation rates, attendance rates, because the districts get paid by the attendance rates, and then standardized scores. That's pretty much all they care about, you know. So I just like to have heard that. All right, so just bring awareness, guys, and just know, if you know anybody who are on these drugs, maybe talk to them, ask them to read the inserts, and just say, hey, that you want to get off of these slowly, albeit slowly, because there was that episode I talked about how getting off antidepressants and anxiety drugs off cold turkey is horrible, and you have horrible side effects, and that's probably on purpose, because they don't want you to ever get off of them. But maybe talk to them and just try to slowly wean off with the help of a psychiatrist and get off of them. Maybe that's the goal. And just, we work one person by one person. Last thing, guys, as always, hit the subscribe button. Takes you 2 seconds. And then please post a review for this podcast series, NP Radio, Confessions of an Obese Child, which I'm likely going to have my first real interview with somebody soon. And then Kate's Apothecary. I know Kate hasn't done a podcast in 8 months, maybe. Just know she's very busy with her children. And just please keep listening to her podcast. And I'm optimistic that she will come back to the air and do some episodes when things smooth out a little. Okay, guys, until next time, let me get to my deep voice. Take care. Bye-bye.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.